Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. I don't have any intention of dying anytime soon. I will do my utmost to try and live as long as I can. But if I should die in the next 10 or 20 years, open a case of murder and charge the Jews. They should be first on the list of suspects. My health is good, and there's no reason why I should die anytime soon, except if it is by accident. But of course, if the accident's been arranged by my enemies, then just remember, go charge them with murder. So I definitely have no intention of dying anytime soon. And no matter what happens, my goal is to try and survive anything and everything, no matter how bad it is. In the last several months, I've been busy doing lots and lots of reading and research and checking in between other things. So even when I haven't been making videos, I have been researching videos. I've got huge piles and piles of things that I've gone through, that I want to go through, that I want to turn into things that can help whites. But one day I was thinking to myself, I thought to myself, if I were to die within, let's say, a day, suppose for some reason I realized that I'm dying, what would be the last thing that I would tell white people to do? I had actually been reading a book. I'd been going through some books from the Church of Creativity, from Ben Klassen's people. And I was so impressed with what I was reading that suddenly the thought occurred to me, if I were to die tomorrow, I know what I'd be able to tell people. So, even if I just had a few seconds of life left in me, I hope that my dying words would be, Ben Klassen, creativity. Ben Klassen, creativity. Those should be my last words. And I want to explain why I would say that. I've been digging through lots and lots of material, all kinds of material, looking at all sorts of things because I wanted to make sure that I had done my research and done my thinking. And one of the topics that I've not touched on, but it's extremely important, is philosophy. What you don't know is that over the years, I've actually dug quite a lot into philosophy, but specifically Nietzsche. Nietzsche was also somebody that was very important to Adolf Hitler. And two guys who helped me to grasp philosophy, or parts of philosophy, because I was interested in very specific things, were the guys that I would call my Boer Nazi pal and my Boer pagan pal. Their real names were Fani Kruger, that is my Boer Nazi pal, and he died in 2021. And my Boer pagan pal was a guy called Leon Hart, and he died in 2018. And they were really awesome guys. They were hardcore racialists, hardcore supporters of Hitler, right to the core of the core. They were really great guys, and I learned a lot from both of them. And both of them helped to guide me a bit with Nietzsche. They helped me to understand certain things. Now, Nietzsche was no friend of Christianity, but when Nietzsche did certain of his writings, he very deliberately chose to write it in a Bible type of format. He copied the Bible and he wrote something that is rather cryptic. It's very cryptic, and you really have to read it carefully. I think he did it because he reckoned that people were used to the Bible format and that people actually want something that sort of bends their minds and they want to dig and they want to think. So he wrote things and he also hid things. I'm quite convinced that he hid quite a bunch of things in that book of his, Thus Spoke Zarathustra. But we will get back to topics like that in the correct time. So anyway, he copied a Bible type of format simply because that is what whites are used to, and I think he thought that this would be a way that people would take it more seriously. So it's quite a mind bender, and I'm sure that he successfully hid many things in there. However, the key of certain things that he wrote is something that I will return to. All whites, and we can probably say since maybe the 1850s, since maybe the 1850s, from some time, maybe even in the earlier 1800s, maybe even as far back as the 1830s, the European people have begun changing. We are in a long-term series of changes. The original changes came 500 years ago. 500 years ago was the beginning of the return to paganism. 500 years ago, with the Renaissance, that is the pivotal moment when we started our path away from Christianity. It wasn't intended to be a path away from Christianity, but I will tell you that in the grander scheme of things, in the fullness of time, if you look properly, you will see that if you need to pinpoint a date when Christianity started dying, it started 500 years ago. Because that was the first time that we returned to the Romans and the Greeks. For a thousand years, we had totally forgotten about the Romans and the Greeks. It is actually a dreadful, hideous thing that occurred, the Dark Ages. And in the Dark Ages, there was only one thing, Christianity. And Christianity was the only time that our race has had a single religion and a religion that excludes all other religions. So that was something that we did for 1,000 years. And then came the Romans and the Greeks, a rediscovery of the Romans and the Greeks by way of Islam. And we had forgotten, this is true, we had forgotten completely who we were. We didn't even know those people had existed. So when we were exposed to our own history, which we had totally forgotten, thanks to Christianity, the real thing that happened to us was science. Suddenly, we rediscovered science. And the fact that you are listening to me by way of the internet, this is a direct result of the Romans and the Greeks, because this comes ultimately from paganism. And so the age of science began, the search for knowledge and the understanding of the thoughts that we used to think before Christianity. Even so, even though science was triumphing and moving us forward at ever faster paces, the fact was that there were still things that Christianity could successfully claim. Christians could still manage to take things like the creation and say that this could only have happened due to God, and so forth. But then the other aspect of science that began to grow was the discovery of fossils. And I think it was Leonardo da Vinci who saw a whale fossil when he was young. And he saw it high on a mountain, and he began to wonder how come this thing arrived on the mountain. It's so far away from the sea. Even so, Leonardo da Vinci was about 300 years ahead of the true science of fossils. But by the 1800s, the early 1800s, more and more fossils were being discovered. And then the next step was Charles Darwin. So Nietzsche comes after Charles Darwin. But it was the discovery of these fossils that then began raising lots of questions. And that started taking people down a path. The 1800s are actually a fascinating time, and a lot of really good stuff happened in the 1800s. And among those things were race, the discovery and the grasping of the concept of race. And that's what Jews are busy trying to suppress like crazy. Jews are doing their damnedest to suppress race, to muddy the waters, and to fool people and to turn things on its head, etc. For Jews, race is a huge threat. But it is the 1800s where things now start moving to a whole new level. We've had the benefits of the science of the Romans and Greeks. And by the way, the Romans and the Greeks were already looking into fossils 2,000 years ago. More than 2,000 years ago, the Romans and Greeks were already looking into fossils. So the 1800s are a critical period, and it started setting us off down a new path. And among the things that now really come to the fore are lots of questions about religion. I discovered that in the time of the Nazis, we know that the Nazis had problems with Christians, and so the way that they dealt with it among their own people was to do a thing called positive Christianity, which meant embrace Christians, work with Christians. And I am very much in favor of positive Christianity. I think it's the only way to approach these matters, is to show things to people and show them what we know. Religion, the way that it's structured, is top-down. So religion is God knows, God has the power, God is in charge, God knows the future, etc., etc. But science is the opposite. Science is bottom-up. It is lots of little details, and from those details, you start building up bigger and bigger pictures. So you've got two very different approaches to life, and you take lots and lots of detailed, smaller things, and you piece them together, and it's like pieces of a puzzle, except it's millions of times more complex than a puzzle. So what we've reached was, by the 1800s, we've got a clash. We've got this top-down concept where we have a book that says it knows the answers, but now we've got other things that we are finding that start clashing with it. And these other things that we're finding start making us think in new directions. And that's also where race comes from. I discovered that in the time of Hitler, while they engaged in positive Christianity, there was one guy who began to think that they need a new religion. Now, the Nazis were pushing many pagan values, but nobody really tackled the topic of religion. Like I say, it was positive Christianity on the one hand, but there was one of their thinkers who began to think that they need to invent a Germanic religion, because the Nazis were Germanics first. Although with the SS, they were looking broader at the Aryans, at, let's call it, the superior Europeans. And that was based on pure race. So there they were going beyond just German. But remember that Hitler originally, his goal was to save Germans and Germany. So there are these bits and pieces, odds and sods, of things that people did. Nietzsche was trying to prepare for life after Christianity, because Nietzsche was looking at history and he was looking at where are things going to go based on what we know and what we now understand about life. What is the future? And Nietzsche saw the future as being a future where Christianity eventually dies out. But he said that Christianity would take several centuries to die out. It would take like 300 or 400 years to die out. And he also said that in the process, there will be times when it will even grow. It'll grow again. It'll grow and then it'll fall back down again and so on. So it won't just go down in a straight line. It'll go through growth spurts and so forth. But eventually it would disappear. And he based it on the fact that our knowledge, our scientific knowledge, is growing, and that scientific knowledge is clashing with what's in Christianity, that there are just too many things that Christianity won't be able to answer. But the key thing is that from that time of the Nazis, there is this realization that we've got some kind of higher level intellectual problem, and it has to do with our race and our survival. It will impact our survival. And the key thing here is that there is a realization that whites don't just do things. Whites don't just do things wildly and for no reason at all. I will get back to things like our natural personality and what we really are and why we are what we are. But for the purposes of this, the simple thing to understand is that whites everywhere think long-term and are disciplined. And we like to think about what we're going to do. And we don't just do things. We naturally, as a people, first want to get our ducks in a row. And we want to think things through before we do things. We were like this before Christianity, in the time of paganism. We were doing the same stuff. And then came Christianity, and Christianity was a framework that we used for 1,000 years as a framework to replace the one that had come before. But now, with all these new discoveries, new science, and these things that are starting to enable us to look into the past, and we're starting to dig things out of the ground, we're starting to have technology and the mechanical, mathematical approaches that allow us to think deeper and harder about the past. Now we have the ability to like go back in time, and we can start to challenge stuff that's sitting in the Bible, because the Bible is supposed to be the key to the past and the future. But now we have actual mechanisms and techniques for figuring out stuff about the past, and those things are clashing with the Bible. That's really what it boils down to. And we're starting to uncover and deduce new knowledge that we've never had before. And among those things are not only the history of the past, but also race and other things. There are many things that are starting to come out now out of this. So one of the things that we are heading towards is also a return to pre-Christian thoughts. There are lots and lots of valuable thoughts from our pre-Christian times. There are also thoughts from pre-Christian times which were merged into Christianity, so that Christianity isn't quite pure Christianity. There are things from pre-Christian stuff that was shoved into Christianity because it was such an innate part of our previous values. A simple example is Christmas, the midwinter solstice. That Christmas is now used as the birthday of Jesus, but we'd celebrated it before for thousands of years as the midwinter solstice. That this is the middle of the winter and we can celebrate because summer is coming. We've reached the worst part of winter, and from here onwards we're back to the warmth, we're back to summer. So although Hitler was very familiar with science, extremely familiar with science, he did not offhand start creating a new Bible. So what I was looking at and thinking about was I was thinking about the various work that whites had done. There are lots of whites who've done all kinds of valuable work. And I would say that the real thinking that really started moving things forward, where whites were realizing that there are things that need rethinking, is the stuff that started with fascism and the stuff that led to National Socialism. But even in that time, nobody looked at the religious stuff and what to do with it, or saw a need to come up with something new. So what you've had from the 1920s, and probably a bit earlier than the 1920s with Mussolini, is that you've had whites starting to rethink lots of things, and starting to rethink more and more things, like how should we live. And then after World War II, we now had George Lincoln Rockwell, who rediscovered the Nazis for Americans, and we've had other bits and pieces of National Socialism and fascism that have been grabbed by whites, whites in Britain and whites elsewhere. It's spread all over the Western world, even to South Africa. Now, there were lots of people who discovered various truths and tried to come out and tell people about it. You had Christians in America, Roman Catholics, talking about the Jews. You had guys like Dr. Revilo Oliver talking about the Jews. You had all kinds of people coming out and talking about different things, especially racially related and historically related stuff. You had George Lincoln Rockwell, you had Dr. William Pierce, and later Dr. William Pierce, whom I have tremendous respect for, and I highly recommend all his stuff. But Dr. William Pierce himself started to look at some kind of philosophy by which to live his life. And he started looking at a thing that he called cosmotheism. He started needing some broader framework to look at for how he was going to live his life. In more recent times, I have come to understand that his stuff has been continued by Kevin Alfred Strom, and they've even created a bit of a small Bible based on what Pierce wrote, and I believe Kevin Alfred Strom has himself added to that little Bible, and it is the Cosmotheist Bible. But the one thing that I must reiterate is that going back to about the 1800s is that our race has started down a path towards nature. And the path is not only back towards nature, but it's back towards paganism, because our original ancestors are deeper thinkers, the Greeks and the Romans. They were deep thinking people, especially the Greeks. But the Romans were no slouches either, hey? They were thinking in what you could call natural law terms, looking at the world the way that nature is. Our people are actually more in tune with nature than this total bloody garbage known as the noble savage. The noble savage is a bunch of crap that's come out of Western thinking in recent times. It's a bunch of garbage. And ultimately, the noble savage leads to an anti-white path. Our ancestors were different. They didn't worship other people. They looked at what they were doing, and they looked at what they were doing within the rules of nature, the laws of nature. And Hitler was very much heading down that path, nature, back to reality, back to what is the world really like. So eventually, some people like Dr. William Pierce also ended up starting to look for something spiritual because he's looking for a framework of how can he live his own life. If you don't believe in the Bible anymore, then what do you believe in? And what can you determine about life and the future? Now, Pierce, I think, only started looking at cosmotheism in the late 70s, early 80s. And like I say, everybody's been trying to find answers. Dr. William Pierce went and looked at all sorts of things. He was focused on race, he was focused on Jews, was focused on history, etc. And then he starts realizing that he needs something to live his life by. But there's a man who beat everybody to the punch, and that man is Ben Clarkson. Now, I did a video about Ben Clarkson a long time ago. I called it The Pope of the White Race because Ben Clarkson is a guy of German descent. You have these Germans who ended up in Russia, who then ended up in America. And Ben Clarkson has got that sort of background. But while George Lincoln Rockwell was busy with National Socialism as a political movement, and he was dealing with politics, there in the background sat somebody else. Now, William Pierce is an offshoot of George Lincoln Rockwell. But there was somebody else who functioned by himself, and he started thinking up his own stuff. Ben Clarkson, as I understand it, was actually quite a successful businessman. And then in the late 60s, in the late 1960s, he realized that white people are in trouble. And he began to think about the survival of white people. And Ben began to dedicate himself to this task. Now, the reason that I'm a supporter of Ben Clarkson's thinking is because of all the people who tackled the problem of white survival. A man who went right back to the foundation to say, what is it that can help whites to survive was Ben. Ben didn't just copy other people's work. He said, what is it that can make white people win? Everybody else was into politics and power, but Ben Clarkson took a step further back. And Ben Clarkson started with this particular idea. And the idea is, what is it that has made civilizations succeed? And Ben came to the conclusion that every great civilization that was successful and that lasted for a long period of time, every great civilization had a religion. So he realized that religion drives everything, that you need the religion first, and from the religion you will get great things. And Ben began to put together this concept called creativity. And I want to tell you that of all the material that I've gone through over the years, created in various places, the man who's done the most complete set of work, the man who has done everything and tried to cover every base, was Ben Clausen. Lots of people have done fantastic work. People have been brave, people have been dedicated, people have risked their lives, people have died, people have approached the problem from all kinds of different angles. But the man who did the most thorough, complete job that leaves no stone unturned is Ben Clausen. And from what I can pick up of Ben Clausen, from the people that I've spoken to who knew him, Ben Clausen was really quite a quiet bloke. Ben Clausen wasn't a guy who wanted to go and shoot people. Ben Clausen was sitting and thinking clearly about the ideas and values that people need. Because he knew that if people have the right values and they understand the problem properly, that from there onwards, it will lead to success. And in that sense, Ben Clausen is unmatched. Ben Clausen has done what nobody else has done. So when I did a video in praise of him some time ago, a couple of years ago, I referred to him as the Pope of the white race. I used the term Pope, but it wasn't quite the right term. Strictly speaking, it's not quite the right term, but I wanted to elevate him to the highest spiritual level. The real term he used for himself was Pontifex Maximus. And that is a Latin term, a Roman term, and it basically is the high priest. So Ben Clausen created a religion and he put himself in there as the high priest. And he knew that white people need a religion, that if white people have the right thinking, that they will then move forward and win, and they're going to win big. Now, there are other people in very recent times who've gone back to paganism, pulled out the values of paganism, and also tried to rework that. But what I really like about Ben is that Ben thought of everything. And one thing that was for me the final piece, final missing piece of the puzzle, had to do with warfare and defense. Everybody talks about their various values, everybody understands things, but nobody really tackled the issue of defense and warfare. To understand that there is a time when you have to fight. All the right wingers, the pagans, the National Socialists, they understand that we need to be militant, that you do need a military aspect. But Ben went and sealed it up nicely. And Ben is the creator of the concept of Rahowa, which stands for Racial Holy War. And Ben even declared Racial Holy War back in 1989. From what I can see from his writings, he basically created and issued his order for racial war to begin. And it's very important that we have a warrior defensive fighting aspect, because that is very much a part of nature. Nature is ruthless, and we cannot succeed if we are just pacifists. This is true for all of history, and we will return to this with the Romans. Ben looked at everything. Ben did the most holistic job on white survival, on the survival of the European people, that anybody has done. So he closed all the loopholes. He saw to it that there's nothing that's missing. He took care of everything. Other things that Ben did that I don't think anybody has really truly done to the same level is Ben made it clear that all people of European descent must stick together. He said that we're not going to discriminate between different people in different parts of Europe. We're not going to say, those people in that part of Europe, they're not part of this thing. All people of European descent are in this thing together. And we're not going to discriminate against them. We're not going to throw them out. We're not going to say, well, you're European, but you're not really a good European, so you're out. He said that everybody's in. And I agree with that, because we also have to go back to our actual biological line, and all European people are ultimately tied together. So if we now start turfing some people out, that's wrong, it's bad, it's stupid. The truth of the matter is that we are close. We may have our differences, but we are of the same bloodline. And even if there are some people who've downbred a bit, these are things that can be solved. There are enough things that are important that can hold us together and that are valid. So what Ben did was he took basically National Socialism, the work of Hitler, and he applied it to everybody. And then he filled in all the other missing bits and pieces, and he gave people other advice. Interestingly enough, his advice on nuts is quite interesting, and I think he's onto something when he advocated certain things. But it's not that what Ben has written is something that you have to slavishly do or anything like that. All that Ben is trying to do is he's trying to come up with all the thoughts and thinking that you need that will allow you to function. That if whites start living this way and whites start adopting some of these values, hopefully most of these values, that we as a people will move forward. We will move forward and we will win. And Ben basically looked at whites as a racial group, and that we must progress forward as a group. That it's not a case that Americans are going to go upwards and everyone else is going to go downwards, or the British are going to go up and the Europeans are going to go down. This is about all of us progressing forward together, and that the real progress that can take place can only take place if we work as a team. In this sense, Ben is way ahead of everybody. He realizes that diversity is bullshit, that you cannot mix these different groups together and still get success, that you have to get success together as a people. And in that sense, Ben has closed everything, and everything Ben has done will work. It will work. It is racially correct. It will work in reality. History has shown it will work. It is in line with science, with DNA, with breeding. He's got the whole thing sewn up. I must tell you, I love the graphics that Ben created, the naming, the marketing. I love it. I just love it to bits. He came up with nice, beautiful things that can be used in the real world. He did it so nicely. He created his flag for the white race, and he's got his thoughts together. It's so nice. He put it together in an intelligent way, in a nice, decent way. I absolutely love what Ben did. I truly love what he did. And it's National Socialism, but it's National Socialism for all European people. So it takes you back to where the Waffen-SS was going. It takes you right back there to the fact that we've got to look more broadly. And we are the same people. We think in similar ways. Some are more accomplished than others, but we represent a civilization and a lineage. And We are ultimately all from the same ancestors. That is really the key here, is that we come from a certain bloodline, and our bloodline's been very successful. It's done amazing things. We are responsible actually for 97%, I think it could even be 99% of all scientific progress in the history of the world comes from us. So we come from an excellent bloodline, and the way he's named us, I don't know how he arrived at creativity, but I love it. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful concept. So he created this church of creativity. But Ben was a quiet guy, and Ben didn't go out and fight people or so forth. But he was a thinker, and he put his little thing together. I believe in his time, at his peak, he may have had only about 7,000 members of his church. But Ben did his stuff. He did it quietly. He's like an academic. He's a lot like William Pierce. They are both going down the same path, really. They are basing their stuff on exactly the same values. But the difference is that whereas Pierce is pushing towards, say, politics, Claassen is pushing towards religion. He's trying to inculcate values into people that if you have those values, you're going to win. That you need a solid foundation. If you don't have a solid foundation, you're not going to go anywhere. And Claassen really did his job so well. And it seems that Ben Claassen then had some communication with Matt Hale. Then Ben Claassen committed suicide, I think because he had cancer. And Matt Hale then started picking this thing up and trying to go with it. And then Matt Hale was set up and he ended up in jail. But I believe creativity is still around. There are still people running creativity. They may have changed the name from Creativity Church to Creativity Movement, but they are still around in various places. I believe that in the 1990s, that seems to be in a time when creativity started taking off, that creativity spread from America to Britain and also to South Africa. I have managed to find people in South Africa who actually were in creativity. My understanding is that there was a professor, a Afrikaans professor, who was the guy who pushed creativity in South Africa. There was a creativity church in Pretoria, the capital city. They had some kind of church and people attended that church. And I know at least three people who attended that church. I will try to get somebody to actually talk about it because it's fascinating. And my Boer pagan pal later was also sitting with creativity literature. So there was some creativity activity in South Africa with an actual church. I'm not saying they had an actual building, but they had some place that they met. Unfortunately, I've not been able to get any photos from anybody. I don't know anyone who has photographs. But it is very important that it was pushed by academics. Now, my Boer pagan pal, Leon Hart, he was a missile engineer, so he was no intellectual lightweight. He was a man of substance, of intellectual substance. So all the people that were pushing it were people who had brains. They looked at it, they saw the value of it, etc. And I must tell you, creativity impresses the hell out of me. I think it is the most lovely set of ideas anyone has come up with since World War II. A complete set of thinking. I really think it's good. I really think it's good. I know that Dr. Pierce even had some kind of sermon that they were trying to do as well. But there's a lot of reasons why a religion is a good thing. Because a religion is a store of values. That is the first and most important thing. A religion is a store of values. And so it really boils down to if you have a bunch of people who have a similar set of values and they start living that set of values, then everybody is moving towards the same end result. And you've got to build unity, you've got to build behavior, you've got to build trust. There are lots of things you have to do. And Ben Clausen put it together. Among the really interesting things that Ben Clausen did that are unique, that really are quite amazing, is that Ben Clausen wanted all whites to learn Latin. Latin was the language of the Roman Empire, and Ben Clausen basically wanted a return to the Roman Empire. And that is what Hitler was doing as well. Despite all his Germanic pagan stuff, his architecture was Roman, and there is even an interesting quote I found in Hitler's table talk where Hitler was talking about the Roman legions. And Hitler was saying he can't see any reason why the Roman legions couldn't go on conquering ad infinitum. Just carry on conquering and defeating enemies and expanding the Roman Empire. He can't understand why they couldn't just carry on conquering. So Hitler had a good understanding of the Greeks and the Romans, and he looked up to them a lot. He merged it with Germanic stuff. Now, another fellow who didn't set out to have any particular political angles, who actually ended up in politics by accident, is Napoleon. And it was Napoleon's military skills that got him to end up in politics, and his real driving force was nothing more than his military skills. But in his personal reading and his personal understanding of history, Napoleon was a huge, huge scholar of the Romans and the Greeks. Big time. Big time. Napoleon was very thoroughly grounded in the Romans and the Greeks. The same is true for the founding fathers of America. Many of the founding fathers of America could actually read Latin. So they could read lots and lots of Roman history as written exactly by the Romans in the original language. There were even a couple of them who could read ancient Greek, and they could read the thoughts of the ancient Greeks. The founding fathers of America based America on the Roman Empire. They wanted America to be the Roman Empire. So you will find lots and lots of examples of whites who've studied their history and they end up back at the Roman Empire. You will even find the Christians back at the Roman Empire with Charlemagne. Charlemagne created the Holy Roman Empire. Even though he was a Christian, even though he went on to murder pagans. But you had everybody turning back to the Roman Empire. And when you really dig into history, you always find that we end up back at the Roman Empire. So Ben Clausen is onto something when he focuses on the Roman Empire big time. And while lots of people look at the Roman Empire, there are things that are still missing. If you look at the Roman Empire superficially, you see all sorts of things that the Romans did, but you still can't quite understand why they were as successful as they were. And that is something that I want to delve into in much more detail, is the exact stuff, the exact reasons why the Romans are successful. Because the Romans are different. The whites in the pre-Christian times did some very different things. The Romans did certain things, the Greeks did certain things, Spartans did certain things, the Germans, the Gauls, everybody did different stuff. But the one group who had an approach to life that resulted in the greatest success were the Romans. They produced the greatest success, the most consistent success, and the greatest results of anybody for the longest period of time. If you look at the Third Reich, you'll see Roman, Roman, Roman all the way through. I did a video called The Two Emperors of the White Race, which dealt with Napoleon and Hitler as modern emperors. And in there, I also discussed the Roman links, many, many Roman links. And the only real negative of the Roman Empire was the Roman Empire starts to decline, and the more it declines, the more Christianity comes to the fore. And at the time that Christianity is made the religion of the Roman Empire, the entire empire collapses within like 120 or so years. But prior to Christianity, it had lasted for a long, long time. From the time that the Romans came into being until their empire collapsed was over 1,200 years. And so it's only the last 120 years that's truly Christian. So it is an interesting point that as it converts totally to Christianity, the whole thing just falls apart within 120 years. And there are reasons for this. So Ben Clausen takes the best of National Socialism, of race, of history, and he tries to work it into a framework that takes care of almost everything. He does everything. He writes a Bible, he writes books, he writes all kinds of things. He prepares for race war. He prepares for how you live your life, the values you must have. He touches on everything. And I think that creativity is fantastic. But the nice thing about creativity, about cosmotheism, etc., is that all these people are actually running down parallel paths. It's just that Ben Clausen's one is the most complete. There is somebody that I met from creativity, a lady who was a big supporter of Matt Hale, and she used to have an interesting saying. She said, "In Clausen we trust." And that is quite a good little bit of thinking. You know, in Clausen we trust. We trust Ben Clausen. So even if they aren't sure, they side with what he guides them. And that's not bad. That's not bad. I can tell you from what I've seen of Ben Clausen's work, Ben is 100% totally and utterly for our race. He is out to see to it that whites win, that whites succeed, that whites will grow, that whites will freaking go to the stars. Though he does have a bunch of criticisms about the space program, and he says there are more important things to spend money on now. But but he wants us to succeed. He wants us to succeed right here on Earth. I've been thinking further, and we need to get to space as well. We need to conquer space. But otherwise, Ben is feet firmly on the ground. He's awesome. And he is an awesome Pontifex Maximus. Sadly, when I was at school in Rhodesia, in I think it was the first year of high school, we had to try different languages. The languages we could choose from as our alternative languages, for the first year, we were forced to do Afrikaans, which was no problem because that was pretty much my home language, can you believe? French and Latin. And after that, we had to do two languages. so I went with Afrikaans and French. But I did 1 year of Latin, and the only thing I really liked about Latin was my Latin teacher. But sadly, because I had no grasp of history, and I had no grasp of the importance of the Romans, I didn't take Latin seriously, and I did it totally half-heartedly. There are two subjects that I really didn't put effort into at school. One was Latin, and the other one was chemistry. And I could kick myself for not attending properly to those subjects. If only I'd understood the importance of these subjects, I would have then maybe had a much better attitude. So I can kick myself for not taking Latin too seriously. Latin is a very interesting language. But anyway, it's not that you have to learn it, but yeah, it would have been something that, now that I'm older and I appreciate our past much more, I would have taken it much more seriously. I have got quite a lot of the books of the creativity people, and I will do my bit to spread it. I have spread the White Man's Bible, but there are others. And returning to the original purpose of this video, I would say to you that if I had an hour left of my life, a day left of my life, or even 15 seconds left of my life, and I knew that I couldn't finish all the things that I wanted to do, and I'm dying, the last thing I would tell you is go and study the Church of Creativity, the work of Ben Klassen. Study that. You can't go wrong with it. Unless the Jews come and they try to infiltrate it and start buggering it up, unless they do that, you can't go wrong with creativity. If all whites followed creativity as is, without adding to it, if they just followed creativity, our race would win again. We would conquer, we would win. We wouldn't have any problems. The stuff that Ben did is good enough. It will work. It definitely will work. There's no question about it. I really have respect for old Ben Klassen. Truly. Truly, I have. That man really tried. And he worked on his stuff for a long time. So he possibly worked on his stuff for almost 20 years. And he built on it, and he grew it, and he thought it through, and he added new concepts when the politics changed. So Ben really worked on the rules and the thoughts that whites need. And it brings whites together, ties them together in unity with the right attitude that I can tell you now. If we followed Ben Klassen's writings and thoughts, we would end up with the Roman Empire, a global Roman Empire of white people, and that empire would be tough, it would be strong, and nobody would be able to break it. Nobody. Ben Klassen said that if all the whites of the world united, we would be 10 times stronger than everybody else put together. I will tell you that he's understating it. If we all worked together, we'd be 20 times as strong as everybody put together. That includes all those Asians. We would have this world as ours. And Adolf Hitler would have been very happy. So, the beauty about these lines of thinking is that Hitler was going down a path, Rockwell was going down a path, Klassen was going down a path, even Mussolini and those guys, we are heading down parallel paths. These paths are not of such a nature that if you're the one, then you can't be the other. No, they are all in line with each other. They're more or less going down the same path. Many of them are directly parallel. Nazism, Ben Carson, Dr. Pierce, it's a totally parallel path. You are going exactly down the same path, exactly towards the same destination. So you can still borrow and chop and change and throw in some other ideas from other people, and you'll still be absolutely going in the right direction. It is not like these other religions where you can be this one, but if you are this one, then you clash with that one. It's nothing like that. White people are heading back to nature, heading back to reality. And among the topics I need to address are the things like why reality and nature is our thing. The noble savage is an idiot. We are the people who are most in line with nature. Forget the noble savage crap. The people who are the most in line with nature is us. And nature loves us. I will return to these topics later. But with Ben Carson, you can't go wrong. Stick to Ben Carson as close as you can, and you can never go wrong. Ben will take all of us towards victory. And in that sense, Ben's work is truly enormous. Ben is looking at creating a new civilization, one that can run for thousands of years, deliver endless amounts of victory, and is so tough that you can't break this thing. This thing could only be torn down if you have a bunch of weaklings, traitors, and Jews who come and stuff it up from the inside, like what happened to the Roman Empire eventually. But it took a long time for them to destroy the Roman Empire. It took them a long time. They had to work for hundreds of years to destroy it. And there are lessons that we can learn from it. There's no reason why we couldn't have a system that will last until the end of time, and we will be victorious until the end of time. So, if I were to die in the next 15 minutes, Ben Carson, creativity, and you'll be fine. You will be fine, your children will be fine, and everybody will be good to go. And my own personal advice, have as many white children as is humanly possible. I'll get back to these topics. So, Ben Carson, and you're good to go. But I'd like to add some of my own contributions, as much that I want to add in that I think will complement these things and add value. But if you need something, sort of a pocketbook for survival, Ben Carson. Ben Carson, and you're on your way. All we need are churches and sermons. That's another thing I loved about creativity. Creativity are the only people who produce sermons. I wish I could get more creativity sermons. I love them. It is wonderful. Creativity has got such a nice thing. It is the only thing that I know of where people produce sermons, and I used to read some of the sermons. It is wonderful. I'm sure that Matt Hale could have produced lovely sermons, but because he's in jail, he's forbidden from mentioning creativity. If you write to him about creativity, they censor it. He's not allowed to see it. He himself is not allowed to write about it. But creativity is awesome. Creativity is really awesome. And the nice thing about the church thing is that people also need to interact at a social level. And what a nice way. You come together to affirm our unity, to affirm our future, to affirm that we are going to vow to move forward to win and to have victory until the end of time. I must tell you, I would love to see churches of creativity, truly. That would be so awesome. It would be so freaking awesome. And from creativity onwards, you can do everything. Now, Ben really thoroughly, with his Germanic approach, he set out to save everybody for once and for all, everywhere. And he was a really genuine guy, and he put a lot of thought into it. And it's well thought out. So, just remember, if I die before my time, just remember to go looking for the Jews who were behind it. But otherwise, follow Ben Clausen, The White Man's Bible, and the related books. There are quite a bunch of them, and they're lovely. They've got lovely titles, lovely stuff. Drill that into your head, and you can't go wrong. And my personal favorite, Rahoa, Racial Holy War. I love it. We need to be absolutely dedicated to our cause. Nothing must get in the way. And Rahoa is the final piece of the puzzle. There's even some writing that Ben did in the 1980s. Ben was already warning white Americans about the border problem. And I saw where Ben wrote that the solution to the border problem, no, it's not Donald Trump's wall. Solution that Ben wrote is a machine gun. Ben didn't bugger around, and I love that about him. He did everything that he needed to do to make sure that whites can save themselves. He closed all the loopholes so that no Jewish bullshit can come and stuff it up. So Ben Clausen, Church of Creativity, Pontifex Maximus, he really deserves his place in the future. He was an awesome guy, and he truly loved white people. Hitler would have approved of everything Ben Clausen came up with, without a shadow of a doubt.
And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know, you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites. We gave you Breaking Bad and all the songs by Creed, all the cast of Friends and trash like Tara Reid, a virtual world of porn so you can spill your seed. Ray-Ban glasses, leggy blondes with tiny asses, frisbee sports and fancy coffee too, energy efficient lights. And so for all this awesome, neat, wonderful stuff, you know you don't thank the Lord, you thank the whites.
Thank the whites, thank the whites.